The NBA playoffs are here, and we all know playoff mode is a thing. Listen to the evidence. Playoff crowds are going wild. Playoff players are lighting up the court. Even your speakers are in playoff mode. Okay, we'll take it down a notch, but just a notch, because this is the Turn It Up to 11 NBA playoffs. Playoff mode is clearly a thing. The NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel continue on ABC, ESPN, TNT, and NBA TV.
It's all shit, it's all just dumb gay politics. America has gotten kinda whack, but we're not gonna let it go down like that, cause we got a dumb gay podcast, a dumb gay political podcast. We probably don't have all the facts, but we got opinions and we'll probably backtrack. That's why it's a dumb gay podcast, a dumb gay political podcast. Ooh, it's all shit, it's all shit. Ooh, it's all shit, it's all shit. Are we gonna die? I don't know. You're extreme. I am extreme. It's all shit. This shit is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. This shit is Trumpanas. T-R-U-M-P-A-N-A-N-A-S. What? I don't know. I don't even know.
Politics. I'm Julie.
And I'm Brandy.
And this is the podcast where we recap the week in politics, like we're recapping the week on reality TV.
But we are recording this a week early.
Yes.
So this is going to be such an extra special episode, isn't it, Meow Meow?
It is. But we've had a wonderful time.
Well, we already recorded our Patreon podcast.
Yes.
For next week.
Yep.
For the day you're hearing this. So.
Right.
We're feeling fucking free.
Falling. Free falling. And we are free falling up Runyon Canyon. Huh? Right, Richard? Does he listen?
No. He sometimes does.
Oh. Yeah. Hi, Richard.
He said he listened to it on the way to Tokyo.
Well, you know what? It's been, I haven't seen Richard in many, many a year. But Richard, I want you to know, I'll always remember the load.
The load on the chest, and also that he likes to freeball.
Yes.
No, he likes to have someone freeball a hike and then meet him at the bottom.
Oh, that's what
he
it is.
He has a boyfriend now.
All right.
But,
okay, well.
Well, Rashard, we love you. I'm glad you changed Free Falling by Tom Petty into a song about freeballing up Runyon Canyon. Freeballing.
Oh, man. I don't know what it is. If we could only make that into a real
The song. Fact that Free Falling hasn't been actually.
And I'm free. Yeah, what would another one be? I don't even know. What's the name of a
Why
song
did Weird Al with his puby hair do it that way?
Free balling.
He should have fucking, you know what? He should have gotten Subversive and maybe his career would have gone somewhere.
He doesn't even know how to, he doesn't know how to do that.
He doesn't know how to get Subversive?
No. He knows how to crisp up his curls, though.
Do you think he has a shaved head now? What if we saw him?
No, I think he has long hair still. That's what I think. I think he still has long, long hair. Long, curly, like wet-looking, crunchy hair. You know what I mean? Like the curls are like wet. Is it wet?
You put your paper down and you go, no, I think he has long hair still. And it was, you said think. But really what the subtext there was, no, I know he has long hair for a fact because I can picture it in my mind's eye and I know for sure he's still a tool. He's even more of a tool. He's an 80s tool and he has long hair. It's longer than it even was before.
Oh, probably. It's probably super, super long.
Because like, wasn't really he giving you a Richard Marx type of vibe in the 80s? And he's probably giving you like more of a long locks Jesus now?
Yeah, he's probably doing like a Kenny G from 88. Michael Bolton.
Oh, he's giving you Michael.
You know what I mean?
Do you think his hairline's receding more?
Oh, let's see. It's probably his long hair and it starts on the back of his head. You know what I mean?
What the fuck happened to Michael Bolton?
Ugh,
where has Michael Bolton been?
Where is Michael Bolton?
That needs
Bolton
to be a documentary.
Been? I mean,
next week I'm
going to
be like, you guys, the documentary.
This is disgusting. If you, I want anyone, Johnny, if you're listening, Google Weird Al Yankovic and the picture I'm looking at when Google comes up is the third one on the right. I mean, get ready to vomit. I'm sorry.
Can you please do search tools and then go last past year, please?
Search what?
Search tools.
Search tools? You want me to search the word tools?
No, I want you to, there's a little thing on Google entitled search tools. So tool isn't just, it's not just an insult. It's also a useful
thing.
Word. for something that you use to fix things or find things. I don't know, okay. But search tool. And then I want you to do, he's under search tool because he's a tool. So he's under the Google search.
There's not one picture here with short hair.
No, of the last year, I said.
I did 2018.
Oh, so just show me a pic.
But in the search tools.
That's the sound of me drinking.
Which one do you choose? Oh, search tools.
Charles?
Oh. Oh, I see.
I can't. I'm breathing into the mic.
I see. Past year. Oh, interesting. Didn't know. Weird Al Yankovic announces massive 2018 tour.
I want everyone listening to know. I want all 14 people listening to know. You're listening to a podcast of someone who is telling you about politics on a weekly basis and doesn't know that on Google you can do a...
I didn't.
You can use a search tool.
I absolutely did not know that.
Oh, you have to always... Especially when you're creeping, which I do, and comment creeping, I need full...
Long hair.
For images, you need the past year.
Yeah, that's what I did.
No, but I'm saying you need it for your life.
I didn't even know that. Now that's going
to
change
everything.
I'm not
trying to get somebody pulled up from 2007, bitch. I need them in 2018.
Didn't know that.
And also with news, I guess when I, just me, am doing research,
yeah,
I need to have the latest news. I can't have news from, even last month.
Right. Wow. Well, now we know. And now we know.
What? We knew. Well, we knew.
Well, I know. Now I know.
I'm happy that you learned something.
Yeah.
So if you found this at all interesting or entertaining, you should join our Patreon because that's pretty much what it is for an hour. And the good news is you don't have to hear about the Patreon.
Right.
On the Patreon.
We just talk.
And there's no ads.
No, there's no ads. It's just an hour of...
pretty much that. Learning about Google, learning about tools. Yep. Learning about vagina stuff.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We just discovered that every time we do the podcast, day or night, Julie has to poop. Because sometimes we do, a lot of times we record it at night.
Yeah.
We're recording this early.
Yeah.
So it's a week early. Mm-hmm. So nothing we say has any relevance.
No.
The moment you're hearing this, which is really a week from now.
Yeah.
Everyone. Mm-hmm. But because we're recording it early, Julie's going to get on a flight soon.
Yeah.
We are drinking because that's what we do on the reg and also before she gets on flights. Mm-hmm. And she had to poo because it's just, I think when she gets around the microphones and this table, she feels really comfortable.
I guess my anus relaxes and I just let everything go. You know, I just let it go. And that's really the important thing.
And
here.
Then she took too long and I was like, meow, meow, your poo's taking too long. And then she came and she's like, I just got the chills from that. And then she had to put on a sweater and believe you me, the bitch does not catch a chill. I could do the ice bucket challenge on this motherfucker and she would not catch a chill, okay?
Oh my God. Your impressions of me lately have really been making me laugh. They really have.
Well, they're not real impressions.
Well, they're interpretations. Just still, fine. Interpretations have really been a delight. I mean, from
So guess what? That happened again. Now... That was only a couple days ago where happened. If any of you 14 listened last week and got through more than 10 minutes, there was a moment where Julie said, to the dog. Fucking she did it again last night. He again had some fucking nefarious business going on, which
he took a whole taco
because we were
on the ground.
Because we were eating Taco Bell. And when I say we were eating Taco Bell, this bitch didn't just come home with Taco Bell. Motherfucker came home with 10 tacos and 2 burritos and a side of nacho cheese sauce. And I did. We were on the phone because that's how codependent we are. Straight coda for the gods. She's at there and I hear her go is the nacho cheese sauce there? I'm like, bitch, did you just get a side of nacho cheese sauce? And she's like, mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, we have really gone next fucking level.
Wow.
And rolled in with no shame in the game with 900 tacos. I was like, one Doritos taco.
Uh-huh. Just to try.
2 burritos for fun.
That's for an amuse bouche.
People are dissubscribing, unsubscribing, dissubscribing.
I had to, dear Julian Brandy, I had to dissubscribe from your stupid fucking podcast.
So, anyway, Nacho, of course, he loves a nacho cheese. What can he do? He said, that's my shit. That's my shit, dog. Don't come in here with nacho cheese and not expect me to get into it.
And he jumped on the table and then he took the thing and he jumped off like a full scavenger.
He walks around the coffee table and Julie will be like, nacho. And I'm like, who lets, the motherfucker is full grown. He's not just a tiny, he's not like Mighty and Pee Wee who are like 2 pounds. He's like full 19 pounds like the cat. He's prancing around with long nails on top of the coffee table. And she's like, oh, nacho. And I'm like, he needs to be beaten within an inch of his life. In fact, let's throw them outside and let's see who picks them, all of them up. So he stole the Doritos.
Right.
The Doritos taco. Is that what it's called?
Doritos Locos.
Oh, Doritos Locos. That makes more sense. Mm-hmm. So he stole the Doritos Locos. Mm-hmm. The shit was loco because it was whack.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I may as well just get a couple of Doritos and just... Scoop up the stuff inside.
It gets too soggy.
So soggy.
Yeah, let's here's an idea. Let's get a bowl of taco meat and then dip Doritos in it.
Yeah, and then you know what? And that next time I'm doing that, and then I'm just going to get a Crunchwrap Supreme. Boom. But I will say
you didn't
that,
even get your favorite thing.
I know,
to talk
because
about.
We're getting crunch tacos.
So he took the paper from the Doritos Locos. He stole it, and we didn't know. We're busy mashing 9,000 tacos down our throat, okay? Even though we had just probably eaten an hour before. And she's like, no. She did it again. When she saw him with the Doritos lining.
Oh, God, what is the matter? I don't know what to say. I didn't even mean to do it.
I guess you just get so overcome. And you're so not used to disciplining or the fear.
Right.
You get encompassed by the fear. Nacho. Well, not we still have two burritos. Nope, I ate half that one burrito later in the night. Okay, well, we have a burrito and a half and how many tacos? Four?
I think so.
Or three? Because you go one time at one point, she goes, whoops, this one's open. I'm going to have to eat it. But like it's in, they're all in wrappers. Nothing's closed. Like there's no way to seal anything. They're just wrapped.
Yeah. Well, like
and she's like, this one's folded accidentally a little open.
Oops. My mouth opened on it. Better swallow and eat it.
Better eat the whole thing.
Oh, well.
And then she goes,
I wonder why I can't ever stick to a diet. Angie Knox has got to be horrified by my behavior.
Well, to our credit. No, there isn't any. Because here's another gross thing we did. It was meow meow. She goes, this is the one where she goes, whoops, this one's open. And then she goes, nope, I got to take all this off. She scrapes all the grated cheese off and then piles it. And I go, give it to the papas. And then she feeds it to the dogs. And then proceeds to dip it into the nacho cheese. Did you dip it into the nacho cheese or pour it on?
No, I dipped it.
Okay.
I like to dip
it. So then I looked over. At first I was like, oh, she just wants the cheese off. I was like, oh, that's like, I don't know. Maybe she just likes a plain meat taco. I don't know. What's her deal? And then I go back to watching the news because my life's a nightmare. And then I glance back over because I'd rather watch this motherfucker eat a taco than look at the news for one more minute. And I look over and she's, apparently dipping it into, and I go, oh, so you don't want?
I don't want cheese on cheese. I just wanted the plain cheese.
Well, I don't know that it's plain cheese.
Well, you know what I mean, like a melted, I guess. I don't know. I didn't want it to.
You wanted a chemical fake cheese. You wanted Well, let's not judge it. Let's not judge it.
It just is what it is. But I do like a plain meat taco.
You love that meat taco.
I love a meaty taco. You love
So since we're recording this a week early, we're going to do a deep dive on James Comey's new book with our resident book reader, Ann Morris, in our brand new segment called Ann Read a Book in 2 Days.
Check this out, y'all. Read a book, read a book, read a motherfucking book. Read a book, read a book, read a motherfucking book. Read a book, read a book, read a motherfucking book. Read a book, read a book, read a motherfucking book. R-E-A-D.
The NBA playoffs are here, and we all know playoff mode is a thing. Listen to the evidence. Playoff crowds are going wild. Playoff players are lighting up the court. Even your speakers are in playoff mode. Okay, we'll take it down a notch, but just a notch, because this is the Turn It Up to 11 NBA playoffs.
Playoff mode is clearly a thing. The NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel continue on ABC, ESPN, TNT, and NBA TV.
Okay. Now it's time for our new segment called Anne Read a Book in 2 Days. And hopefully y'all like it because we're going to do it every time a new Trump book comes out. Or should I say, Anne's going to do it. And she's going to do it in 2 goddamn days.
Okay, so the first time Anne read a book in 2 days for us was back in January when she took us to Fire and Fury Skew. But for those of you who skipped that episode or who have no long-term memory, like myself, Anne is one of my oldest and best friends. I've mentioned her on the show a million times, and even her husband Mike, who has the same birthday as George Clooney, and it's coming up in May. They have a son named Nicholas and that I will happily raise as my own if they ever die in a tragic shark attack or something such as.
Oh, or a Southwest airline crash. Not only is she a close part of our family, she's also a good friend to the show. She's one of the original 14 listeners of DGP and a Patreon subscriber. But that's not why we chose her. We chose her because she's hilarious and exceptionally smart and one of the only people we know who could read a 350-page nonfiction book in 2 days.
And by the way, with a motherfucking full-time job. So, and this time she read James Comey's new book, A Higher Loyalty, Truth, Lies, and Leadership. For those of you who don't know, don't care, or again, have no long-term memory, in recent news, James Comey is the polarizing FBI director who was investigating the Trump-Russia collusion case when Trump went ahead and fired his ass. So then Comey went ahead and leaked all his notes about Trump to his lawyer friend, I put that in quotes, who worked, who like was a Columbia professor or something like that, mm-hmm. with instructions to pass the notes on to the New York Times.
But the hating of James Comey didn't start there. He was the FBI director who announced that he was reopening the investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails 10 days before the election. And he was also the New York District Attorney who sent Martha Stewart to jail in 2004. If that wasn't reason enough for every woman on earth to hate his fucking ass, he's 6'8" and wildly self-confident.
Gross.
So without further ado, let's get into this asshole's book.
Hey, Anne.
Hey, Anne.
Hey, guys.
Wow.
Introduction.
Was it 300?
Recycled introduction, yeah, exactly. But good nonetheless.
Was it 350 pages?
No, this one was shorter. This one was like 270 or something like that.
Because I just cut
But it was much better. It was a better book.
Oh, it was?
Just off the bat. Yeah.
Supposedly he wrote it and didn't use like a ghostwriter.
That's how amazing he is.
Oh,
I'm sure he would
so,
tell you.
I mean, look, it's not like, you know, Shakespeare, but it's really... it's well right, like it's well thought out. It's well thought out.
Was it an easy? Was it an easy? One. Was it an easy read for you? Like a
yeah,
like it was. And
like, yeah, I liked it. I mean, he's an interesting guy.
Did you believe? Well, let's just start out with. Okay, right off the bat, I just want to know in terms of support. Okay. Like in his life, he was with George Bush Sr., he was against the Clintons, he was with Obama, and then he was against Trump. So since you read this book, and it's a memoir about his life, which is what you texted me, you know the James Comey that he wants people to know. Do you know what side he's on after reading it?
Well, he mentions in the book at some point that he was a Republican. I mean, that's how he usually voted. But in all of his jobs, and particularly in the FBI... you know, it's about being nonpartisan. So he talks about everybody he worked with. So when he worked with George W. Bush, he liked him personally, but there was a lot of issues with that team. That's actually probably the most interesting part of the book, where he talks about having to deal with the legalities around wiretapping and then the torture memos and things like that. So he was fighting against... his own party, in a sense.
So he liked George Bush Sr., but they were total shady
characters? Well, this is George W. Bush. So he was...
Oh, George Bush.
George W.
Okay.
Bush. Yeah. So, he was the deputy attorney general under John Ashcroft.
And then... so, but he liked him personally, as did I.
George W. Bush.
Yeah.
Does it everybody,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, you want him
yeah,
to...
yeah, he said he was an affable guy.
Yeah, but then he... but they were completely shady, right? Wanting to do fucking...
torture and stuff.
Yeah, so in that part, so when Comey went to work in the Department of Justice, this is like 2003, 9/11 had just happened. After that happened, obviously a lot of changes took place as far as surveillance and wiretapping and torture with the CIA and all that. So all of those things that passed muster at that time were quickly passed through the legalities weren't really fine cone, whatever the hell. They weren't really looked at very closely because people obviously wanted to prevent another attack and everything like that. So when he got in there and started actually digging and looking through how things were being done, he noticed discrepancies about what was actually legal, and Cheney and his guys weren't having it. So it was, there was a lot of back and forth.
Did he tell that story that he loves to tell and exalt himself, how he ran to John Ashcroft's, like,
yeah.
Okay, so tell us that story.
His bedside?
Yes.
Yeah. So the interesting story about that. So there's a part in the book, and I believe this was about the torture stuff. And he, I think it was.
I think it was about wiretapping. It was about wiretapping.
Maybe it was wiretapping. Yeah. Both of that. There was a shit show. So the wiretapping. So John Ashcroft got really sick and was in the hospital. And so that made Comey the acting attorney general at that time, because Ashcroft was very ill in the hospital. And Cheney and Bush's attorneys, really.
What was Dick Cheney at that time? I don't know.
Dick Cheney was the vice president.
Okay. That's the level we're dealing with. That's literally the level we're dealing with.
So Cheney's, I would try to keep it straight too. I had to write it all down. So Cheney's, his own personal counsel and George Bush, Junior, whatever the hell.
you need to
George
call
W. Bush, whatever.
To call him Junior for me, because I can't.
His personal counsel. Both were trying to keep the status quo and keep it the same. And they were going to try to pull a fast one and get to the hospital, right to John Ashcroft's, very sick John Ashcroft's bedside, and get him to basically sign off on continuing the plan as it was. And Comey found out about it, so that guy was like, nope. And he rushed off, and he beat them to it and got there before. And he had Bob Mueller, who was the FBI director at the time, meet him there too.
I didn't read. I didn't see.
Yeah, so Mueller was the FBI director through that.
Yeah,
he was
the FBI director before.
I want to say 12 years. Oh. He held that office for like 12 years.
Okay, so what about that's like a story. What, according to, you know, in his tale he weaves about himself, that's like how he shows that he has integrity, is the story of the illegal, what he thought was unlawful wiretapping, and him, you know, and this whole thing with the bedside and all this bullshit. But
and who are they wiretapping?
Yeah, what do we mean when we say wiretapping?
Or do we not know?
So they were doing like surveillance on anything, any kind of foreign faction, picking up on illegal. So in other words, they weren't letting people know. I guess I don't really know the legalities.
But it was
shady.
It was terrorist.
It was
stuff,
shady
though.
Shit. It wasn't. And Cheney and them were saying this is to save lives, and the ends justify the means,
right,
basically.
Right.
And he was like, but obviously, that's not legal.
Okay. Because I'm sure they really wanted to just like wiretap like Democrats or whatever, you know what I mean? Like they're like,
probably,
let's do the terrorists and also let's do some senators or whatever.
Right.
Okay, so what was your overall, from reading it, before we get into like details, because we're really gonna try and stretch this out. what was your overall impression of him? Because so we read that what was kind of interesting, Julie already last night when we were eating Taco Bell and getting drunk said he seems pious and he has a God complex. And then when I further did research, and when I say I do mean just me, he was apparently like, he was a chemistry and a religion major. And I know that from knowing Julie, who's like pretty much just a devil worshiper at this point, that like from the 80s, like that kind,
that's kind of cool, you can be
very into religion.
Cool.
She could actually, I know that wasn't cool. That sounded more Indian.
Yeah, it did. I was trying to do a scary,
like a Native American.
I don't know what that was, because it was like, nacho. But I couldn't get it. I couldn't get some sort of devil.
Yeah, no.
I couldn't get the devil prayer out. like,
That did sound. Now, so she, she's very into religion, but she's not like Jesus-y per se. So,
right.
Does he, Is he? Was there a religious? What's your like vibe of him? I mean,
there was a brief mention about him being a like having a minor in religion, but he doesn't talk about God in the book or anything like that. I get the sense that the whole theme of this book is basically him talking about what makes a good leader and what makes someone ethical. Like literally the first line of the book is something like, who am I to tell you about ethical leadership? And then it's like, clearly the answer is James Comey for 300 pages. Cause the whole thing is him like explaining through his own life and bosses that he had had and people that he had known and how,
he was above them. He had learned.
Yeah, no, like but just how he kind of learned to be a good leader, a good person, that kind of thing. So
he just has such a
really.
High.
That's how the whole thing is like a precursor to him talking about how much he basically hates liars and hates bullies. But I think liars are even worse than bullies. And so you know, it's all leading up to Trump, which is the ultimate liar and bully. And
that's kind of interesting.
Does he get into then his own hypocrisy with the Clintons and all that?
He explains the Clinton email stuff really pretty thoroughly. I mean, the impression I get from him, he's a very law and order, follow a process, kind of dorky type of guy. Is kind of the vibe you get from reading it.
Okay, so let's...
Go ahead.
For the two people listening, in the 90s, Comey was one of the lead investigators in the Clinton Whitewater case, which ironically, because I obviously had to look that up, being that I didn't even know what Dick Cheney did, was a case regarding real estate fraud. And then he investigated the Clintons again in 2002 when Bill Clinton pardoned Mark Rich. So when you were reading, because he's gone on every show and said there's two chapters about Hillary Clinton, do you feel like the email thing, or is this just from reading it, do you feel like that was kind of like somewhat of a personal vendetta? Like I get the vibe that he doesn't like losing, and he
mentions both of those things in the book. He mentions investigating Whitewater, which he specifically was looking into stuff around Vince Foster's suicide, and then he also talks about the Mark Rich pardoning and why that was so controversial. And in reading the book, do I think that necessarily had to be put into it? Probably not. But this is just my opinion. I feel like maybe that both of those things were put into the book to kind of say the Clintons can be kind of shady.
Yeah.
And he doesn't say that. He just kind of mentions them as fact. Those are two things that he had to investigate at some point in his career. But my impression reading it was kind of like, they're not totally on the up and up all the time. So it was worth investigating.
And do you think that because, we know, I don't know about Vince Foster's suicide, because quite frankly, I don't even know who Vince Foster is.
Me either.
he worked for them on on that deal. And then he ended up committing suicide. And then it was a whole conspiracy theory, like, was it murder? And you know how everybody thinks, the Clintons have murdered people.
We almost watched the YouTube, the Clintons have murdered this morning. Yeah.
I kept meaning to look up.
Hundreds of people.
Apparently. I kept meaning to look up Whitewater too. And I never, ever followed through with looking up as to what
anything.
Exactly. Well, that's true.
I think, I don't really know. I mean, it was like a real estate deal gone bad, and I'm not sure what the fraud part was.
You know what they lost us at Arkansas. I'm quite sure we're out, who can care. But so this guy worked on that deal with them, and then he mysteriously committed suicide. I mean, obviously the motherfucker was killed.
Well, they killed
maybe
him
but they couldn't prove it, so I don't know.
You didn't get our real estate deal together and
because they were all lying. They were doing some Trump deals. Mm. And then they were going to clearly, he was the Cohen of the situation, who was going to have to turn state's evidence. And they were like, you done, sister. Oh. So how did he kill himself? And I put that in quotes. And do you know?
I think he shot himself. They don't really talk about it. It's just a quick thing. I think he shot himself. I'm on the record saying I don't think the Clintons murdered him. He doesn't really talk about that much, only to mention, hey, in the past, these are my only dealings with the Clintons, basically.
My question to you is, do you, from, you know, you read the book, and first of all, did you feel like he was... Yeah, he was like aggrandizing himself in the book, or were you buying him? You've read a lot of memoirs.
I mean a little bit. Look, he's kind of hokey. He talks a lot about, you know, like I said, the whole thing is just about, you know, being a good leader and being ethical, blah blah blah. He goes through many times the book where he mentions, like, he's kind of one of the people. Like he talks about how he every day at FBI offices would go and get lunch with everyone else and like stand in line with everyone else and like, congratulations, buddy. I mean, you know, things like that. Like I stand in line and wait. And he literally goes, which I thought made me laugh so hard. He goes, I stood in line behind someone and when they would order paninis, and then in parentheses, it says that takes a long time. I'm like, okay. I mean, they do take a long time.
God, that sounds good right now, though.
But he kind of, you know, he talks about how he, you know, he'd go around and personally shake the hand of every single FBI employee. You know, he really.
That's a well-known, like, and who knows if he puts it out there, but that's a common thing online and in any news organization, is like his thing about like being down to earth. And he speaks at a school, he waits, and he talks to every student afterward. He doesn't just leave.
There is something annoying though about like it's everything he's doing is right, but there's something that is annoying me. Like you know what I mean?
You know what else is annoying? He said at one point, he was talking about how, and anybody who's listening who has ever worked in like a corporate type of environment could probably relate to it, how he was like, you know, I would get everybody together and do icebreakers, which is like going around the room and asking everyone, like, what's your favorite Thanksgiving food? I mean, literally, his example was what's your favorite Halloween candy? And I'm like, you're asking a room full of FBI. Like, who? One guy is, the guy's like, I'm breaking up sex trafficking ring. I don't know. Mini Snickers? Like, what are you even?
I killed a whole family last night and ate their candy.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Sorry. There's a dead body on the corner. We have to go.
I mean,
yeah. Like, my panini's ready.
Like, what?
It's so that, things like that, where it's just dorky. It's like, oh, God. He's one of those.
But he's self-congratulatory. That's what it is. He's self-congratulatory.
A little self-congratulatory.
It's like, it sounds like a lot self-congratulatory. It's one thing to say.
Help it.
It's like everything you're saying is correct, sir. Like, yes, when you go into a room, you should shake everybody's hand. And when you go to the school and give a speech, you should meet all the students. And it's rather than saying, like,
right.
And then I make sure that I walk
through. Why mention it? Just do it because it's the right thing to do. You don't have to necessarily mention it. And also, when you get to that level where you're as high as you're becoming the FBI director, he does talk a little, he acts a little folksy in the way that anybody knows if you're going to get to that high level of a career, you have to be somewhat of a person that can do self-promotion. That's just the only way you get that high.
Right.
You have to, you know,
and you also
yourself.
Have to be somewhat shady.
Yeah.
I mean, it's FBI is not as shady as the CIA,
but still,
but it's, there's no way.
There's a thing where he's lacking in all of this. I guess that's coming out to me. I can't even put words together. Is that he's saying all that stuff about ethical and leadership, but he's not being honest about the other stuff. And he does that across the board. And when the interviews that we see him too, it's like, that's, I mean, and there's no way to put that in the book because he doesn't have the awareness to do it. But that's maybe what it is too. It's like I don't know.
Oh. He definitely is trying to justify his decisions.
Right.
You know, I guess that's probably the point of writing the book, is to justify the decisions.
Well, I wanted to know, like, if he ever, because, Anne, I don't know if you probably haven't because you work, but today is really the day that he's going to go, like, on every single show, but he's already done a few, and he has yet to even say he's sorry about anything. I mean, somebody, like, probably on The View, they said, like, what would you say if you could talk to Hillary Clinton? Like, you're expecting him to just say, I would tell her I'm sorry. He doesn't apologize or say he regrets any decision.
No. As a matter of fact, he says he'd do the same thing again in the book. He would do it again. And he really, that part was, I guess I was expecting more, because I think we all kind of wanted an apology in a way, but to have him explain it, you can see where he wouldn't apologize for it.
So what does he say is the reason that he told everyone he was investigating Hillary Clinton and told no one that he was investigating Trump? Does he ever address that?
Yes, he does. So if everybody can remember back in the time when they first were investigating Hillary Clinton for the emails,
And was that in like 2015? Was she running it? I'm not sure when that was.
Something like that. I think she was like at the time when they started the investigation, she was like the front runner. I don't think she had quite yet been the nominee yet.
Okay. It was all Benghazi and all this shit. I'm like, what the fuck with these emails?
Yeah, he doesn't even talk about Benghazi. This is specifically the emails and what the FBI were tasked to do, which was go through hundreds of thousands of these emails and find out if of these emails that she sent on these servers that weren't secure, were any of those messages like top secret that could cause, you know, damage to the country? And they combed through hundreds of thousands of emails.
God, I would love that job. Wouldn't you love that? He found out what her favorite Halloween candy is.
Panini.
I'm sure he did. I'm sure it was Almond Joy, and I like them too.
But she, nice.
I love an Almond Joy.
Almond Joy is a delight.
So good.
So good.
So good. So basically, at the end of going through all of these emails, they found that, yes, she did send some secret things that she shouldn't have, but all of the people that were on those emails were, you know, supposed to be receiving them, and it didn't appear as though she had done it knowing that she shouldn't have done it. So basically, there wasn't any kind of malice. So it was like kind of sloppy work, but it wasn't criminal. So he comes out, and he, you know, there's all this pressure on both sides of the aisle saying, you know, the Obama administration isn't looking into this. They're going to, you know, they're going to sweep this under the rug. Loretta Lynch is talking to Bill Clinton on the plane and all of that.
Oh, that's
stuff.
Right. Okay. So she was his attorney general, or who was Loretta Lynch?
She was the attorney general.
And she had that thing with her. We just talked about her kids.
She's a like, country
really?
Singer. Also, whenever they say he talked to Loretta Lynch on a plane, I'm like, it sounds like a country singer.
Loretta Lynn.
Oh, that's why.
I wish it was Loretta
that
Lynn.
That would be amazing.
On Air Force on a plane.
Loretta Lynn was with.
Comey was like, hey, are you going to recuse yourself from this investigation? And she's like, no, not really. So he took it upon himself. And this is where it kind of gets dicey, because as a person who is like by the book, do the right thing, he went around the usual protocol, whereas normally he would, with his findings, would report back to the Department of Justice, and then that department, meaning Loretta Lynch and her team, would come out and say there was nothing wrong with her email, she's clear. Instead, he went out on his own without even really telling them, did a little press conference thing where he said, hey, we looked, she, you know, was a little sloppy, but we're not going to pursue any kind of charges. Okay, so that happens.
Why did he circumvent her if it was a positive? Because he's thirsty, or?
He said the reason he did it is because he did not want, there's two reasons. One is there's some classified information that he can't disclose, even now today in this book. He can't disclose it around Loretta Lynch that, if it came to the public, might cast doubt on her ability to investigate properly. Now, that sounds shady even saying that.
Yeah.
But he was saying, I wanted to make it clear that the FBI is a freestanding organization and we are not in bed with this at all, and this was our finding. So his whole thing is always like, I'm trying to protect the integrity of the institution.
He constantly has to do that when he's working for Democrats. He constantly, or against Democrats, he's got to be like, let everyone know everything himself. I mean, that's the pattern that I'm getting, if that even makes sense.
I think he likes to be out in front at points.
Yeah.
He doesn't really say that, but you get, I mean, yeah.
He's a bit of a showboat.
Yeah.
I mean, I keep going.
Oh, no. So just for the rest of the email stuff. So then, you know, he puts it to bed. It's fine. She didn't do it. Then in October is when they got the news that when they got fucking Anthony Weiner.
Yeah, they got the news that Anthony Weiner likes young vagina, very young Asian vagina. Weiner.
Yeah, and in addition to seeing the vagina, they saw another like 100,000 Hillary Clinton emails on this laptop. So they come back and go, well, we found all of these emails. Now what do we do? So he says he's in this really difficult predicament, because on the one hand, which normally what you do is when you don't have any conclusion, they keep it quiet. They don't disclose any information until an investigation is complete. now he has to reopen the investigation because they found all of these new fucking emails.
But we knew they were investigating Hillary Clinton, so they do the first time. So they do
right.
sometimes
tell. But then he
tell,
went out and said, it's over.
Okay. So in the normal, so you're saying the normal protocol is you would reopen it and not say anything?
Well, I don't think that, yes, the normal protocol is, well, actually, the normal protocol is he never would have even gone out in the first place and said it was over. You know what I mean? So he kind of put himself in this predicament where he came out, said that the investigation was done, and now they had to open it. So the way he explains it is he's like, I had two options. One option was, I can go back and I can say, hey, we had to reopen this investigation because of all of these emails that we found. Or he could decide to stay quiet and then hope nothing was found. And then if something was found, it would have been, in his mind, it would have been catastrophic because it would have been, you're hiding this. And she,
I don't
you
think
know.
So. What do you think, Anne? Do you think, I disagree with that.
I mean, look, I think if both options were bad, the first option being come out 2 weeks before the election saying you're reopening the investigation, you know that's going to be terrible. He didn't know what was going to be in those emails, so
he
you don't know if option B was going to be off. I personally would not have done
there,
it.
Though. What did they think was in there? They already had gone through 35,000 of other emails
he
and saw there was nothing
because,
in there.
Somebody.
Well, he thought that they found emails from the very, very beginning of her becoming Secretary of State. So what he says is, if there was ever going to be a smoking gun moment where someone said, hey, maybe we shouldn't be emailing on BlackBerry, it would have been found in those emails. That's what he says.
But what? Oh, I loved having a BlackBerry.
And also,
what was the thing? It was Benghazi. It was like ordering the killing or some or Benghazi thing.
It wasn't
Benghazi
even about the content of the email. It was about the fact that she was
using
sensitive material.
And then what? She should go to prison for 50 fucking years?
Yeah.
Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, she's,
I mean, I'm not yelling at you, man, but I'm just saying, like, that whole thing was so stupid. And he came.
It was stupid.
And he's spending all this time looking through emails, and then he found another 1,000 on Uma Abedin's fucking laptop with her stupid fucking husband. Who's looking at kitty porn or whatever.
He leaked. He leaked. And maybe it wasn't classified, but he actually leaked private information and had it go to the New York Times. Like, you're concerned that she went and like said something about Obama on, you know, like Gmail?
But
that's what she's just going to get fined. Nothing's even going to happen.
That's the thing. If they would have found evidence of her knowing that what they were doing was illegal, then that's where they get you.
And but they're literally looking for an email where she goes, hey, Chelsea, I know I shouldn't be writing on this actual server, but I need some pizza. So can you bring it home? Or, hey, Uma.
And Chauncey's like, P.S.
Yeah,
pepperoni or no? No. They.
I mean, who
that was the thing.
It's so stupid.
But he obviously and does he imply or seem like he thought he was going to get the smoking gun, and he must have wanted to because
he
fucking hated
clearly
the Clintons
wanted to
because
I don't know. He doesn't imply it. I think
he would never imply it. He's too above that.
He makes
he's
it seem like he was
that.
In a lose-lose situation. He wasn't going to win either way, and.
He put himself there, and he wanted a smoking gun, and he didn't like them because they killed Vince Gill. What's his name?
Vince Gill. I know, it's all country artists.
If they had
it's
killed Vince
artists.
Gill, now that would have been...
Like, who killed Vince
outraged.
Gill? And it's like, Vince Gill was on Air Force One with Loretta...
Lynn. Loretta Lynn. Ugh.
I mean...
They did a duet, with Clinton. Yeah, it's whatever. He came and did backups. He played the sax.
I didn't have sex
So that was his...
And that's your big.
That was kind of his explanation around the Hillary emails, and he says that he goes, "I would do it again the same way because he felt he was kind of back up against the wall."
Never admit he did anything wrong. He's 6'8" and doesn't do anything wrong,
admit that was.
He says
not
he feels
important.
Horrible.
He said he feels horrible.
Well, he said he felt somebody on his team said to him at one point, like, "Do you think that if you release this information that you're reopening the case, do you think you're going to help Donald Trump win the election?" Now he says, well, either way, I still have to disclose this information. Of course, you know, we disagree with that, but that was what he thought. But he also says at that point, everybody thought she had it in the bag. So he's like, I didn't think that we were going to hand it to him. But, you know, whether that's that's true or not. Whether or not it affected it that dramatically, who's to say?
I mean, I want to just say for the record, so it's on record, that I honestly, truly don't think, I really don't. I don't think that email thing was it. I'm happy. I never really liked him. And so I'm happy for people to give him shit constantly and say that him and Putin ruined her thing. But I really don't. I don't think it was the emails that did it. I really don't. But that being said, he's not being
forthright. I mean, it didn't help matters.
He's not, no. And he's not being forthright about the reason for doing it. And that's what everyone's glomming onto. And I really do believe that. Yeah. I think the people who knew they were voting for Trump were voting for Trump. And the people who were voting for her were voting for her. And nothing was going to change it. Not the pussy tape, not the fucking emails. Nobody even knew what the fucking emails.
She used a server and she what? Well, I'm not voting for her.
I was still talking about Benghazi. I didn't even know what the goddamn thing was.
Well, that's the other thing that I was going to say, too. And so, like, he doesn't even... You investigated her for the emails, but what everyone thinks that they know is that she killed all these people in Benghazi, like, because the embassy there was attacked, and they blame her. So it's
she ordered it, supposedly.
Or she ordered it. So did you find that on the emails, James Comey? No, you didn't, because all you found was fucking Panini's and Loretta Lynn album ordering on iTunes. You fucking asshole.
Vince Gill.
Loretta she Lynn ordered the killing of Vince Gill. Holding up the line. It was causing problems.
I mean, jeez, I'm so irritated. He's so annoying.
It's the whole thing. I mean, the email thing, I don't know. But to answer your other question, so the thing about the Trump Russia, because the other big thing people are saying is, well, you knew before the election happened that
The investigation
Russia was
that's
colluding.
Right. Yeah.
You know, Russia was trying to tamper with the investigation.
Or they knew.
And
they,
why
and
didn't
they,
you
they had
talk
the,
about that?
They had the dossier, the whole dossier with, it wasn't just the hookers peeing. The dossier was all financial ties to Russia, and they were investigating. I mean, Obama knew too. And
they were investigating
love him,
it.
But no one ever said a word. Why do you not make that announcement?
Right.
Well, he says because this is information that had not been previously released to the public. And normally, protocol is to not talk about it until the investigation is complete. Of course, he contradicts himself by then going back out with the Hillary stuff. So that's the explanation he gives.
Clearly
because it hadn't been out yet.
Yeah, he wants to pretend like he doesn't have an agenda, but he does.
Yeah, and I really feel...
He has a gay agenda.
I feel that, his gay agenda was personal. I feel it was personal because of Vince Gill and Mark Rich, and he investigated them twice and didn't get them. Because the one famous... This is probably in the fucking book, and the thing I read, this is like a famous thing, when he got and took over for a Mueller as the FBI director, he like got all the guys in the room and said, what's your favorite fucking candy? Whatever. Do you like it in the butt? And then he said, who here has ever, or maybe it wasn't FBI. It was like, who here?
I never ever. Huh? You?
Yeah.
John?
Never have I ever murdered someone named Ben.
Never have I ever killed two people at the same time. Oh, everyone?
Okay. So maybe it wasn't FBI, but he said, who here has never lost a case? Mm. And then... Who, like, you know, a bunch of dick bods raise their hand. And then he said, okay, well, and then he had to shame them and say, well, you've never, then you can't be trusted. You're not willing to, like, stick your neck out. You've never taken a case that you thought you might lose just because it was the right thing to do. And it was, like, this big famous thing that he did. And for me, while everyone else, like, you know, thought that was so great, I thought to myself, he hates fucking losing. And he for sure didn't like investigating them, because you can't investigate anyone and not find them to be shady.
And from the second he's going into that, he's also laying a groundwork. He's throwing a blanket out being like, I've never done anything bad. Have you? I haven't.
Yeah.
So here's my blanket. I have never done anything bad, nor would I ever. I have a higher loyalty. I'm very ethical. I'm very tall. And it's like he's going around self-congratulating himself, but also...
Self-congratulating himself?
Yes, he's self-congratulating himself, but promoting this agenda of I'm above you.
Yeah.
I'm above you.
Can't help
because I will never do anything wrong.
Morally superior.
Yes, I'm morally
and
superior
physically,
to you.
Physically. He's literally above everyone.
Well, he
I'm skinny,
is
fat,
superior.
And I'm tall. I'm skinny, fat. I have no actual muscle tone.
Well, I'm just saying that I feel he had a fucking axe to grind. I just think it, and I don't.
It's possible he doesn't. He doesn't say it, you know. Of course, but
what
you
did
know.
You think?
I think he really believes what he's saying, and that he thought he really had his back against the wall, and he thought because he had spoken out before, he wanted to, he had to amend the record. Now, I personally disagree with it, but you can, the way he really lays it out, you can see why he would think what he
thinks. So you think if whatever he did must have been subconscious, like he wasn't.
Maybe. I mean, his thing is, you know what? I tell you what, if he found out that she was a liar in some way, he when it comes to Martha Stewart, when it comes to David Petraeus, who was, you know, the head of the CIA, he really was leaking things to his mistress at the time. People who lied, he loses his mind.
The Clintons lied constantly.
So so that's what I'm saying. Maybe it was subconscious where he was like, I know that they did X, Y, and Z, and you know, I don't know.
Keep up without the book. He's on his own apology tour. Because look, we have to talk about Martha Stewart because that's when he was fucking dead to us. And by the way, that happened yesterday that we found out. But they put him up to be the head of the FBI. You know, you have to go in front of like Congress or Senate or whatever, and they vote for you.
You have to go in front of the Country Music
Awards. Yeah, so you go from front of the CMAs.
Yeah,
he got 93 votes and to one. You know who the one person was that didn't, who voted no on him? Rand Paul.
No.
So
well, that motherfucker.
Yeah. So it's like anybody. He went from everyone liking him, and by the way, that's Obama. Like, oh, you're tried and true Republican.
Yeah, very well respected. And by the way, he speaks glowingly of Obama.
Oh, I was going to ask you that. That's one of my questions. Literally, it says, what did he say about Obama? Question mark.
He thought he was great. He thought he was like a wonderful listener, just a really great guy.
I thought he said
he was a tender lover. Yeah. he held me after sex.
He held him tenderly. He really was like, he was just a really all around
guy. He said when he talked
to
the hearings, he said he was only in the room with him like seven times, I thought. And then,
yeah, well, I mean, he says, and that's one of the big problems with Trump, is that an FBI director and the executive branch aren't really supposed to mingle very often. I mean, they're supposed to be two separate things, because if you need to investigate them, there's not supposed to be a buddy-buddy relationship. So with Obama, he talked to him before he was sworn in, and then after that, he's like, I talked to him like two other times, and he was cool, but they didn't have a really close relationship, because that's not the nature of the president and the FBI director. They're not supposed to have a close relationship.
But, you know, you can tell he's a wonderful listener just by looking at him. Well, I'm saying...
Yeah. I love his hands.
He got his just desserts because he fucking had... He was well-respected and got 93. I bet you that's unmatched in a congressional voting situation. And now everyone hates a man. Everyone. Everyone
it's like his karma just came back around, but...
Now the only person that likes him is Rand
Paul. The country's collateral damage.
Yeah, no one likes him. No one. No Democrats, no Republicans. Everyone's on every show like, fuck this guy. So tell us about, and then on record, people say that the Martha Stewart thing was full vindictive. People just
Well, think, again, so with Martha Stewart, he said, the way he explains it, so if, for people who don't remember, so she what she did was is she got an inside tip that this stock was going to tank, and she sold the stock before it tanked. And normally, she would have gotten a slap on the wrist, but she lied to investigators. She lied about it. And he was like, I don't fucking think so. If you lie about it, you're going to go to jail. And that's what happened. If she had been honest and said,
God, he's so they would have, petty. It's just also petty. Like, these are tiny, petty, stupid things.
I'm pretty sure, Enron didn't even go to jail.
Why aren't you going and actually investigating important things? I don't understand what is this your job? She lied about, these aren't murders. These aren't killings. These aren't...
Operative word is she. Know. How many people are doing
insider
training?
Well, he was saying,
training?
Why, you know, why should she, you know, be held to a different standard because she's famous and rich? If it was a normal person on the street, you would go to jail. On the flip side, that person wouldn't, probably wouldn't have made headlines like she did. But
you have time?
Gordon Gekko didn't go to jail?
Gordon Gekko did not go to jail, that's right.
He was insider trading all day long.
Well, and also he's not real.
With Charlie Sheen.
but another thing that I thought was interesting, so, because he was talking about all the different liars and how much he hates the liars, Scooter Libby, who Trump just pardoned.
Yes.
He talks about Scooter Libby when Comey was the deputy attorney general, he was the person who assigned the guy to investigate Scooter Libby and got Scooter Libby convicted. So I think Trump pardoned Libby just to go fuck right off.
That's so great. We thought it was to be
like, you know how he likes to undo everything that people do? Yes. I think he probably read that line in the book or had somebody read it to him and said, go pardon that guy.
Now, I thought that I couldn't get too deep into Scooter Libby, but the very surface headline knowledge was that he was always wrongfully sent to jail or something.
No, he was another really class A liar. He lied about leaking this classified information and got caught.
But why did everyone think, does everyone act like he sort of, did he take the fall for Bush or what was the deal there?
Cheney. It was the whole thing. It was the one where, remember there was the CIA operative that they blew her cover and she could have
been killed. The whole thing. It was Cheney.
So they blew her cover to a journalist and then he went back and lied about leaking that information.
So now that is dirty deed.
Well, I think they feel like it was he took the fall for all of them, but he never should have taken the fall. It was them, is what. Why?
That's possible.
Because you know CNN ain't gonna try to give it to anybody, and they're the ones who are like, "Oh, Scooter Libby. Now he always should have been pardoned." But that being said, fuck Trump for even doing that.
Ladies and gentlemen, next up is Scooter Libby, Loretta Lynn, Vince Gill.
Scooter Libby could all be a country western guy,
right? Doesn't everyone? I can't let any of it go.
I won't. I think it's the cutest name. I love the name Scooter. I'm into it now.
I mean, I just
you like the name Scooter for an adult man?
No, but I like it for like a dog.
Yeah, dog. It's
maybe
cute.
A dog.
But can you imagine giving birth to a baby and being like, he's beautiful?
I bet you his name's Scott. His name is probably Scott.
I'm going to call him Scooter Jazzy Elevator Goldstein.
Okay, so then what else did you think? Give us the interesting. So you thought that is interesting. Apparently he sent everyone to jail in the whole world.
Well, yeah.
James Comey. He sent every bad person to jail.
My God, I would have been in jail forever.
So
yeah, that seems to be his real.
I kind of think what gets you is gay people, what gets you is liars, what gets you is druggies, then you in danger, girl. Like you're hiding something in your closet. Like I don't know why you're so obsessed with liars.
It'd be one thing if it was lying about. Like the blowing the lady's cover, like that's hard. That's a lot. That's a dirty deed, and that is shame.
Well, of
that's
course,
horrible.
They're in law enforcement
but
technically.
Just because I don't know why lying. I don't know what it is about lying. Like, why is lying the actual crime?
Because he. I
get it. I don't know. It's a stupid
thing
to
say. He's a law and order
but,
guy, yeah. And he's if you lie to the law, you feel like you're above the law, and he's like, you're not above me, literally or figuratively.
Yeah,
he's you know.
Julie's right. I mean, bitch did zero. I want to say zero research for this. Spent not, 0 minutes. She stood at a window and smoked cigarettes and ate Taco Bell while I was looking online. And she said, with her cigarette, he's got a God complex. He's pious. And then she nails it. She nails it.
Right? I mean, I think to have to be, he brought down like the mob. I mean, he's done a lot of things.
I mean, that's good, bringing down the mob. But I did lie at jury duty one to get out of jury duty. I said I wouldn't. I don't think drunk driving.
Oh, I always do that. I make myself against prosecution and defense. And then
yeah, you have
to, like,
right, Ann? I mean, you know, we have to tell little lies to, you know, there's things we have to do. And that's in the court of law. We should be arrested and apparently put in jail and put to death.
I mean, I really do feel that way. I was against prosecution and defense. And they said,
yeah.
Please, excuse me.
Yeah, where did you go to jury duty? Like Brooklyn, or was it out here?
Yeah,
in LA?
It was in Brooklyn, and they.
Oh,
it was like
that's
a
where I. That's
case.
Where I was. That's me too, Ann.
Yeah,
was it? Yes,
and I
it
said
was
I didn't trust breathalyzers, and then I was like, "But there's nothing I hate more than a drunk driver," and they were like, "She's excused."
Oh, I did a drunk driving one too, and they were like, "Ask me." I said, "I don't think drunk driving is a crime."
Oh, God.
And they were like, what? I was like, yeah, I'm not.
Well,
I'm
thank
not
God, because you do it frequently.
I'm not voting. And then I couldn't even get the terminology. I was like, I'm not voting for in this competition for this
innocent
person to go to jail. I'm sorry. I'm not. I'm just not. I'm not going to look at.
You were like, I'm going to give him the silver medal.
Yeah.
Were people like, she's a monster? What do they say?
Oh, yeah. They were like, get the fuck out. It was
like, by the way, she's despicable.
Yeah,
she's
well, because I could not. I mean, I couldn't do jury duty for not for that. No. There was another one too, where it was like a slip and fall, and I was like, she deserves it all. Who slips and falls on the sidewalk? I can't. Let me
That's
go.
That's a money grab.
Yeah.
Anyway. No, I throw it away now. On the record, I've gone twice in LA, and it's so annoying. It's literally like fucking going to do the prices right. It's like all day long, waiting. Yeah. You never get in. No. I'm like, let me see the murderer. You never get in. I want to be Leah Black, who meets Roy Black on the murder case for 900 years.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to. No. And so I go, now I go, throwing this away. There's never a record of this arriving.
Also, I just don't like your attitude. I don't like the way you're talking to me. How about that, lawyer?
I don't like your tone.
And you know what else?
Have professional jurors and call it a day.
Oh, that's what you exactly.
Have that be a job.
Agreed. Also, why do I have to stand for the judge? I'm not standing. Who are you? What are you, a man in a robe?
Oh, I don't remember that part. My face. I don't think I ever even saw it.
Oh, yeah, you do. You do have to stand, yeah.
I can't deal with any of that. That's why they'll just kick me out just for sitting down when the judge walks in.
Like, well, you guys have lied more than just jury duty. Anne literally just closed her office door and said, no one bother me. And she probably did say she was doing something important while she's doing this.
No, I wasn't lying. I just said, don't bother me. I'm going in here now. Shut the door.
But I lie constantly. I mean, you know what I mean?
My whole life
is a lie. It's an everyday lie. I'm living a lie.
No, listen, I understand. I'm just saying that, and I don't mean to downplay an actual, you know, a criminal lie, you know, of blowing someone's cover in the FBI is a way different thing than fucking, you know,
CIA. It wasn't that I'm
not knowing where your email's coming from. It's just stupid.
I'm not belittling the him going against any crimes. She said that his overarching theme is that he can't stand liars. Yeah, and I'm like, no, well, then you're can't. A liar because exactly. You are a liar right. Because we all are. That's like saying, I don't like people who breathe. You can't help it. You do it all the time. Oh, white lies. That's still
or
lying.
We're lying to what? Oh. Yeah, I don't know.
Withholding information is a lie? As one
that's true.
You could argue withholding information, which he did about Trump. He fucking did it.
He leaked.
Ooh.
Yeah. Leaking is a lie. Leaking is already a lie. You've now sent
I'm
it
leaking.
To, you've said.
I mean that.
I'm on the fourth day of my You're period, lying. And you know what that means. What?
Oh,
Anne's on her period too. Everyone, 14 people, and Julie periods at the
quite
same
yet,
time.
But I do have PMS, and I.
Oh, you mean you're starting tomorrow, Anne? You're ovulating
probably.
Or whatever.
Probably America.
America.
Hey, America. Think ovulating. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's people. Probably there's one half of a person in Australia listening to this too. So hey,
like I'm ovulating too.
Cheerio! Oh no, Cheerios in England. Oh my
God.
Top of the morning. No, that's
I. Top of the morning to
shrimp on the Barbie. Shrimp on the Bobby.
What do you
period.
Think they say? What
there
think,
we go.
What do you think they say when people are like American? They go. What do they go like? Drive your NASCAR down the road.
Yeah, they're like,
what's
hey,
our,
y'all.
What's our, so,
oh, yeah,
hey,
what's
y'all.
Our saying?
What's our saying? Hey y'all.
On the rag.
What? Yeah, is that a G?
People say that. I don't know. Say on the rag.
Oh, on the
they must, right?
Oh my God.
It's so gross.
Now
so people
gross.
Say that.
That's so gross. I know they do. Like, what is she on the rag?
Pam's listening. We used to say that, Pam.
You said on the rag.
Hi, Pam.
I for sure said it in the 90s.
Ugh, on the rag is the gross. Like, that's gross.
Definitely something a husband made up. You know what I mean? To be annoying.
There goes Julie. Yeah. It's sexism that
oh,
invented on
who
the rag.
Who says what woman rag. Said on the rag? That definitely was a man being like, what are you on the rag? You're like, I'm going to throw the rag up your fucking face. Why don't you back the fuck off? Talk about drunk driving.
I can't deal with on the rag. It's like, honestly, the funniest thing I've heard in 2018. It's so next level
what,
funny.
What, you on the rag?
I mean, what about when people go, my Aunt Dot's visiting? It's like, fuck off.
Ugh, Aunt Flo.
Aunt Flo.
Aunt Flo's come to town. You're like, oh,
why
God.
Did I think it was Dot? I honestly would rather be like,
Aunt
that's,
Dot?
That's
blood's
you're spotting.
Pouring
you're
out
spotting
of my pussy
Aunt Dot, I guess.
That's post-menopause. That's menopause. That time of the
if
month,
only James know. Comey had started his book like is everyone on the rag because I did nothing wrong
America's on the rag yeah. I'm yeah. Well that's America's I wonder I like to think of Australians sitting around being like are you on the rag
somehow
that's what Americans
we're gonna have to figure out what other countries that's our That's what we got out of this book review.
Like, Ann, what people say for having their period in different countries.
No, or just anything. Just any American thing. Like, what are they sitting around? Like, we're like, shrimp on the Barbie and all that bullshit.
Cheerio.
Cheerio.
Yeah, they're like, we don't say shrimp on the Barbie.
No, they're like, that's that from fucking Crocodile Dundee and that guy.
No, what is the thing from Crocodile Dundee? It's not shrimp on the Barbie. There's something.
When he goes, that's a knife. Right? Isn't that what he says?
No, he says, yeah, he brings out the big knife.
Good day, mate.
Oh, good day, mate. Right.
Oh, good day, mate.
Good day, mate.
But doesn't he do a thing where he pulls out the knife and he's like, that's not a knife?
Yeah, he does. That's
or is that from part two? I don't even know.
Sorry, you guys are obsessed with Crocodile Dundee and you're quoting things from part two. Both of you.
We don't know if it's from part two.
I don't
We're
know
not
if it's
sure.
Part two.
God.
I just remember it from the trailer.
We weren't sure if it was part one or part two, Brandy.
Is he dead or is that the real guy?
He's alive.
I think he's alive, right? He made a cameo. Old, though.
He made a cameo in the new one and he just gives this
Paul Hogan.
Yeah, Paul Hogan. Paul Hogan. This is Paul Hogan. Good one.
Can I just tell you that I just found a post-it that I must have written when I was writing this book and it just says, Comey, don't play that.
And that's how
that's a good one. Comey, don't play that.
That's the name of the episode.
That's done
the name,
that?
That's the name of the episode. Comey, don't play that.
Okay, Ann, well, we're
well,
going
to
go.
That was very enlightening. All of that was some really good information. Thanks, Ann.
Okay, well, do you want to tell everyone where to stalk you? I mean, you're pretty much
you
gotten
guys,
all the followers.
I got nothing. I'm on, I'd say Twitter. And then when I do anything of note one day.
I mean, Twitter's good. It's not like you're going to get more than the 14. I feel like you got actual 14 followers from last time.
I did. I literally think I doubled my followers, and I'm now up to 28. So thank you, everybody.
What is your Twitter handle?
It's at @Anne_Morris, Morris.
Okay.
My Instagram's just pictures of my kid and my dog and cat, so that's
Fuck
not
Instagram. Everyone get on Twitter only so you can get
Russian bots. Yeah, so just do Twitter. It's just Twitter.
Okay, love
That's
you,
it.
Ann. Thank you.
Thank
love you,
Ann.
Guys.
That was awesome.
Thanks for
Thank
having
you.
Me.
So that's it for this episode of Dumb Gay Politics.
Thank you guys for listening. Remember, we recorded this a week early, so don't freak out when you're listening to this on Tuesday wondering why we aren't talking about the 19 more people that Trump fired.
By next week, Trump's going to be impeached.
Yeah, and we're going to be like, they're going to be like, of course they missed it. Julie's doing stand-up and somewhere and they missed the Trump's impeached.
Well, remember to sign up for our Patreon because that will never go out of style. I know the constant selling of the Patreon bugs, but don't worry yourself, hoping that eventually we will stop hawking it. But we will never stop it because we need it to survive. So
don't worry about us stopping it because we're never going to stop.
Yeah, right. So don't think like maybe next time they won't talk about the Patreon, but we will.
Because maybe someday we might if we get a job, which means
that's true.
We'll never stop selling it.
Well, that is also true.
It's at www.patreon.com/dumbgaypolitics. Go to there to listen to 2 free episodes. And like I said in the beginning, just think if you join, when you join, you don't have to hear about the Patreon.
Right. You just are on it.
That's the best part
and
about
enjoying
it.
And know that it is a community. It's all about a community of people also listening.
A community of like 7 or 8 people. But we're close with those motherfuckers. It's like my mom, 2 of my good friends.
Johnny.
And now, that's included in the 2 of the good friends.
and Johnny also, I want to say, hey, Lisa, cousin Lisa, also huge fan of this podcast, who texts me and just says, don't forget, because I always make fun of the fact that none of my family listens. And she's always like, I listen. So I want to thank you for listening, because that is my family. And I want to let you know that I'm going to be traveling through the heartland of America.
Heartland?
The heartland of America. And I'm very excited about it. We'll try and get Brandy to go, but
is the heartland where Mormons live?
Yes. It's going to be Salt Lake City. Getting up the actual. Okay, so
I thought the actual heartland was like Indiana.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe it is. I don't know what I'm talking about. On May 9th, I'm going to be in Bend, Oregon at 7 Nightclub. Tickets are available.
That's not the heartland.
Oregon? Oh, I guess not. Well, Oregon's. I don't know why they call it the heartland.
The Pacific Northwest, bitch.
I guess I'm doing.
You better keep them on the West Coast where they belong, motherfucker. That's our people.
And May 11th, that is a Friday, May 11th in Salt Lake City at a place called 50 West. And then May 12th, Lucky Dog Tavern in Boise, Idaho. All tickets are only $15 in advance if you get them online, $22 at the door.
Have you ever performed in those places
no,
before?
No, I haven't.
It's like, who's looking for you in Salt Lake City?
I know, it's weird. Well, I've been working, Belinda, if you're listening, which I think you might be. Hi, Belinda. I'm going to be performing with Belinda Carroll, who also is booking, who booked us to do our live podcast at the Portland Queer Comedy Festival, July 19th to the 22nd. So if you're in Portland, check that out. We are also going to be in Seattle June 17th doing the live podcast at Jai Tai. And I will be performing for Seattle Women's Pride on June 16th.
We'll be seeing Jeremy and Craig.
Oh, right. Hey, Jeremy and Craig. It's very possible I'm also going to be in Denver on June 15th. So I'll keep you posted.
Okay, so, and as always, it's been real and it's been fun.
But mostly, it's been gay and it's been evergreen.
That's right. Go read a motherfucking book. R-E-A-D-B-O. Okay.
How'd you do, I see you've met my faithful handyman. He's just a little brought down because when you knocked, he thought you were the candy man. Don't get strung up by the way I look. Don't judge a book by its cover. I'm not much of a man by the light of day, but by night I'm one hell of a lover. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Let me show you a rhyme and maybe play you a sign. You look like you're both pretty groovy. If you want something visual that's not too abysmal, we could take in an old Steve Reeves movie.
I'm glad we caught you at home. Could we use your phone? We're both in a bit of a hurry.
Right.
We'll just say where we are, then go back to the car. We don't want to be any worry.
Well, you got caught with a flat wheel. How about that? Well, babies, don't you panic. By the light of the night, it'll all seem all right. I'll get you a satanic mechanic. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Why don't you stay for the night?
Night.
Or maybe a bite.
Bite.
I could show you my favorite obsession. I've been making a man with blonde hair and a tan, and he's good for relieving my tension. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual
Transylvania. Head ham, just a sweet transvestite of from transsexual Transylvania. So, come up to the lab and see what's on the slab. I see you shiver with anticipation. But maybe the rain is really to blame. So I'll remove the cause. But not the symptom.